Amen. I love singing with you. Look forward to the day when we will sing in glory, face to face with the one who died for our sins. And yet here we are today, still on the earth, and still fighting the fight. How are you doing in your fight? Question for you this morning. How's it going? I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles. We are in the book of John, have been in the book of John for quite some time now. John chapter 8. We're moving out of a passage and part where Jesus was talking about freedom to the most religious people on the planet. Freedom. And I believe he is speaking to you and I this morning about freedom. Anybody want more freedom in your life? Just going to ask that. Anybody want more freedom? And what does that mean? Well, we're going to peek in here to John chapter 8. And again, Jesus is speaking truth. Jesus never lied. Everything he ever said was true. And it seems like here in Jerusalem, the more truth he speaks to these Jews who believed at some level, by the end of the chapter, they're picking up stones to stone him to death. So, John chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 34 through 47, but before we read the word, would you pray with me, and we'll ask the Lord to guide us through his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, you promised, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And if we continue in your word, we will know the truth. And the truth will make us free. So Lord, I ask by your Holy Spirit, through your word, that you would help us as we are here in your word, hearing your word with our physical ears going into our brain. We're thinking about the things we hear and will hear. But I ask, O Holy Spirit, guide your word into our brains and our minds. And please, Lord, do not leave our hearts out of this equation. Connect our hearts to what we hear. And may we say, amen, it's true what you say, Jesus. Help us not to doubt and question and say, I don't buy that. So, Lord, please come. For your glory and for our good, connect us to your truth and continue to make us free more and more and more in our lives in a way that pleases you and not us and yet makes us happy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week, I said it an awful lot last week, just going to recap real quick. Sin is enslavement. Jesus said in this passage, everyone, whether you're a Jew, a Finlander, a Swede, a German, which really is everybody else, if you sin, you're a slave of sin. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'm going to ask you real quick, anybody want to be more free in your life? And anybody want to know what that means? Because to some people, I can remember thinking, freedom means I can do whatever I want, wherever I want, with whoever I want. And when I led that kind of lifestyle, I thought I was free. But then I came to the point where the Holy Spirit showed me that really that lifestyle was not freedom. It was actually enslavement. So let's come to these words of Christ. Let's read through this text. Remember, the historical setting here is Jerusalem. Close to Jesus' execution, he's teaching these Jews. If you look at verse 30, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So verse 31 says, so Jesus was saying to these Jews who had believed in him. So he's addressing these Jews who believed in some level in him. And this is the same group that at the end of the chapter, if you look real quick, verse 59, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Wow. So what happened? What happened from believing? He addresses them, and now they want to stone him. So that's where we're at in this process, been going through real slow. But let's begin. We're going to be primarily looking at verses 37 through 47, but just to get a flow, we're going to start at verse 34. And if you have a Pew Bible, it's page 79 in your Pew Bible. This is the Word of God. So Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So, if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I've seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Ooh. By the way, side note, this is one verse that a lot of theologians believe it's very anti-Semitic. It's anti-Jewish because of what Jesus said. And you can understand that, can't you? So, Jesus, like we said last week and have the past 3 weeks talked about, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're true disciples of mine. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So they answer Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free? So Jesus says the truth about his word, continuing in my word, let my word abide in you. It's a continuing in, it's a process. Then you're true disciples of mine, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They say, what do you mean, make us free? We're Abraham's descendants. Thus the title of the sermon. I almost put, who's your daddy? But I didn't want to even put that because I think of a movie. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? But this is serious. This is weighty. Who's your father? There's really only, in Jesus' mind, two fathers. God the Father and the devil. So I ask you, who is your father? So they didn't believe what Jesus said, nor did they understand what they were in bondage to, even though they were. I'm going to pause there for a second with you. They thought they were free, but in reality, they were in bondage. Anybody ever been there? Most of my life. Like I said, college, no mom and dad around, got an RA, pretty cool guy. Free to do what Kyle wanted to do without restraint. That was my definition, one time, of freedom. I'm going to tell you today, like I said last week, praise Jesus for grace and the Holy Spirit, which caused me to see that that was bondage. I remember weeping over that lifestyle that I once lived and loved. I desired it. I could not get enough. Anybody know what I mean by that? If you're human, you better go yes. Because everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And if you're a slave of sin, who's your daddy? The devil. So that's what we have at stake here in Jerusalem. Interesting enough to me, with very devout Jews, very religious people. They say, what are you talking about? This is a paraphrase. Where do you get off saying we need to be set free? Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham. Point number one in your bulletin in review, and also to set the stage, point number one, everyone who sins is a slave of sin and needs to be set free. Bar none. That's added on, the bar none part. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin and needs to be set free. Romans 3:9. You can turn there or just listen real quick. Anybody know that offhand? Romans 3:9 says this. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks Jews and all other ethnic groups are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not even one. No one's righteous on their own. And everyone needs to be set free. This is a stunning truth if you let it settle on you. It will change your view, your worldview. So Jesus is teaching here in Jerusalem, and he's teaching again this morning. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin and stays a slave of sin until they are set free from bondage to sin and sin's power in your life. Jesus is the only one who can set prisoners free. He's the only one that died for the sins of the world. He became sin so that we can become right. The great exchange. Who else in human history did that? None. So if the Son makes you free, you're free. Can I get an amen? Anybody here set free? Can I get it? Can I get a witness? So these Jews didn't receive the truth that Jesus is teaching. They're okay in their mind, but they're in reality still in prison. They believe they're okay. Why? Why do they believe they're okay? We are Abraham's descendants. Our family bloodline is pure. Okay, point number two in your bulletin outline. Human pedigree is important to humans, but not to God, for he does not discriminate. Okay? I got some other verses there in your outline. Deuteronomy 10:17, Acts 10:34. Human bloodlines to some is what they stand on. I understand that. I understand that. My father, Larry Detmers, was a man of faith, a large man, mountain of a man, professional baseball player. Wow. Oh. And there's something in me when I say that, there's something in me that makes me want to stand up a little taller. He also was a teacher and a high school administrator. People still to this day talk to me about him. Ran into a guy the other day who just happened to be at the birth of my grandchild. He was on my bus route in fourth grade. He's a year younger than me. And he talked to me about my dad and what a great man he was. My uncle, well-known architect. He actually built the gateway to the west, the Arch in St. Louis, Bruce Detmers. I understand. My pedigree is really something. Aren't you impressed with me? You can even find out your own ancestry today online. It's called, you know it. How many of you have done it? You know what? I even found out I'm related to, guess who? Noah. What a guy. Great shipbuilder. Remember him? Maybe you don't. I'm related to Noah. Isn't that great? And so are you. Isn't that great? Okay. How many times you talk to people, you know, my distant cousin removed from my mother's side on my brother's mom's side knew of this guy. And it was, how you ever hear people talk like that? Anybody ever done that? Okay. The Jews said,
We're Abraham's descendants.
Jesus said, I know. I know you're Abraham's descendants. You're genuine Jews, which means their father was a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know. Is that enough to get you in? Is your ethnicity involved in your salvation? Does it set you free from your battle in your heart with sin? I know you're genuine Jews, but you're not the Israel of God. Anybody know what that means? You're Jewish, but you're not the Israel of God, like the Bible talks about. What's that mean? The Israel of God is Israelites that have been set free from the Jew, Jesus. They've put their trust in Christ. Something happens inside, deep, not just their skin level thing. It's not just a behavioral thing. It's a heart thing. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about in your struggle with sin? We've been talking a lot about the want to do things. Okay? And let's be honest. A lot of us is about our human behavior. If I could just change my behavior, I'd be a better person. To me, that's putting the cart before the horse. How many of you want the want to do? How many of you want the want to be pure? Let me throw that out because that was my weakness, purity. Got a little side note with you. Purity is always smart. Impurity is always stupid. I love that. That's the way I got to think with me. I'm so simple. Kyle, don't do that. It's stupid. And if you choose to be impure, you're choosing to be unhappy and miserable. Purity is always best. Look at Jesus, the happiest person in the universe, was the most purest. Okay. Okay, you're Abraham's descendants, Jesus said. I know that. Listen to Romans 2:28. For the sense of speed, you don't have to turn there. Just listen. You can turn there later. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit. Different circumcision here. There's a physical circumcision and there's a spiritual circumcision. It's of the heart. By the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. That is a true Jew. When their hearts have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit. And Christian, if you're a believer today, that's what happened to you. You had your heart cut away. Doesn't make you a Jew. I'm still a Swede. But I get in on the blessings. I get in on the blessings. So just because they were connected to Abraham through their bloodlines, that wasn't enough for Jesus, and it isn't enough for God. Your bloodline, your heritage, as great as it might be, does not make you free from your bondage to sin. Well, my dad and my mom or my grandmother, great woman of faith, you don't get in based on someone else's faithfulness. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So, Galatians 3 talks about that also, chapter 3. God does not discriminate. If you've been baptized into Christ through faith, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free man. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that you become a man if you're a woman, or that God doesn't make those distinguishing things. Just means that that's not what makes you what you are. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ and you're one. So all have sinned, Jew, Greek, Gentile, slave, free man, male, female, all are in slavery because everyone has sin. Only Jesus can free an enslaved sinner and from sin and its dominion over your life. Anybody want more freedom from sin's dominion over your... Do you even realize? Anybody here ever realize sin's dominion over your life? I don't think I did. I thought it was freedom. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit helped me see. I'm in bondage. And all of a sudden, what I once loved, I now had a distaste for. And we're going to get to that in a little bit here. Only Jesus can set an enslaved sinner free. Can you set yourself free from the things you like to do that you know are wrong? Can you do that? Do you have that kind of willpower? Right? Anybody got that? Please help me out here. I'll just keep saying no and no and no, and then finally I won't want to do it anymore. Only Jesus can change the heart. Our hearts need to be circumcised, cut away. Cut it away, Lord. Cut that part of my heart away that wants to do that. Cut it away. It's a process. It's called sanctification. So, I know you're Abraham's descendants, verse 37. Yet you seek to kill me. I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me. Because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I've seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you've heard from your father. I don't think they've heard it yet. Point number 3 in your bulletin outline. Jesus spoke what he heard and saw from his father God. Jesus spoke what he heard and saw from his father God. We learned that earlier in John. Remember that? Everything he said he heard and he saw from his father. Everything he said was him and the father are always connected. They never do anything apart from each other. I and the Father are one. When you hear me, you hear God, the Father. Can I get an amen? Woo! You want to hear God speak? Listen to Jesus. Then he says, point number 3, second part, the unbelieving Jews did and spoke what they heard from their father, who we later learn is who? The devil. So the more Jesus spoke, the more incensed they became, so much by the end of the chapter, they wanted to stone him. They picked up stones to stone him, but he left from their midst. So that is the truth of what Jesus is saying to these Jews, who thought that Abraham was their father, and he was physically, ethnically, but he wasn't spiritually. There's another thing. If you believe, you become spiritual descendants of Abraham in a spiritual sense. So there's the physical, and then there's the spiritual. That's why Jesus said to them, verse 39, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Stop there. What are the deeds of Abraham that they had to do to be spiritual descendants of Abraham? Right? Fair question. Romans 4:1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, His wage is not credited as a favor. So if you think you're working your way to heaven, just doing a bunch of good things, it's not in your favor. Hard to stomach that one, isn't it? But to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. Who's the person that justifies or makes right the ungodly? The Sunday school answer is Jesus. His faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessings on the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. That's another sermon. Covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Does that sound like good news? That's you, believer. So Abraham believed in the promise of a coming deliverer, one who would justify the ungodly, one who would set his people free, really free. Abraham believed in the Messiah who was to come, Jesus. So these Jews did not believe in the Jesus, the Messiah, and Jesus said something stinging and stunning in verse 42. If God were your Father, you would love me. Do you hear that? If God were your Father, you would love me. Been accused by some believers of always talking about Jesus way too much. I mean, you got to get off this Jesus kick and get hip with the times. If you don't love Jesus, this may not be the church for you. Because you're going to hear about him. You're going to hear about him. You're going to hear about him. And I love him because of what he did in my life. He set me free. And he is setting me free. And one day he will once and forever set me free. He's the only one who can do that. And I know that is not politically correct. If I were to preach this sermon from the center of NMU campus with loudspeakers, how would it be received? By the way, this is going online. God were your Father, you would love me. Is that the same for you and I? If God is your Father, you will love Jesus. If God is not your Father, guess who you won't love? Is that hard for anybody to hear? Does anybody want to go, I want out of here? I've had actually people do that. I can't hear that anymore. That is not true. That's what these Jews were saying. That's not true. Abraham's our father. By the way, we weren't born of fornication, which I think was a little jab at him because they thought he was. Jesus was. Mary was pregnant before mom and dad got married. We know, and it doesn't say that there, could also mean they were thinking, maybe he thinks we are born of fornication. Abraham's our father. What are you saying? The devil? So, then he says in verse 43, why do you not understand what I am saying? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You cannot hear my word. Verse 37b says, my word has no place in you. Anybody remember going to church and hearing the words and they just don't connect? Maybe it's happening right now. I pray it's not. I pray you're hearing this going, yes. Is there anything in you as I'm preaching through this going, amen, amen, amen? That's why every now and then I'll say, can I get an amen? Can I get anybody with me on this? Man, can you imagine me sitting there and hearing Jesus and you're in Jerusalem and he's saying these things and someone in the back's going, yes! Woo! You're light. Then he says, you are of your father, the devil. And listen closely, please. And we're almost done. And we're going to have a time of communion. You got it. This is really, in my mind, a key truth that he says. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. You can underline that. You want to do. So when I say things like, does your want to matter? Does your want to matter when you come to read the Bible or you come to church or go do this? You, let me say this. I believe human beings really make time to do the things that they really desire. When you get free time, what's your heart say? Go do this. Anybody feel guilty when I said that? And I'm not saying, okay, cross-country skiing is bad. Because that's what I like to do. Okay, I don't like to do it. It's really a lot of work, and I benefit from it. But you know what I mean there? I don't want to make light of this. Sometimes I think I make too light of key points. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. That goes back to Genesis. And does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. We've talked about that too. In the devil. Anybody ever feel, bless you, anybody ever feel like the devil's talking to you? What do you think he's saying to you? Truth? No. The opposite. When Satan's talking to you, you know that Pastor Kyle, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. You ever seen how he lives? You ever seen his kids? The only good thing about him is he married over his head. Satan comes at you every now and then. Okay, a lot, doesn't he? He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to kill. That's what he does. Remember that. Okay. Point number four in your bulletin outline, the evidence of who your father is or who is your father are the deeds you desire to do from your heart. Boy, that's a big statement. Did I want to say that? I guess I did. I just did. I put it in a bulletin outline. The evidence of who is your father are the deeds you desire to do from your heart. It shows you what's in your heart. Now, I want to pause here and be careful. I know I'm on thin ice. Am I talking about perfection here? No. But I am talking about the direction of your heart. Am I talking about the one that beats in your chest? That's not what I'm talking about either. It's the place in you, the deepest part of you, where your desires come from. And if you're a believer with me, can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? Where God has changed your desires in any part of your life. Thank you. Amen. How about, is he still working on you? Can I get an amen? Amen. Does it mean when you do and desire to do bad things, you're not a Christian anymore? No. But it's a practice. Those who practice these things, it's the pattern of your life. You'll know a tree by its fruit. Be careful with that too, because we all got bad fruit. And it takes a while, by the way, for trees to produce fruit. Sometimes a long time, depending on the tree. Okay. So this is what Jesus said simply. Have I oversimplified what Jesus said? If you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he still is. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me. So in other words, Jesus is saying there's going to be a family resemblance. Okay? You're a chip off the old block. So the evidence that the devil is your father, you want to do the desires of your father. And their desire was to kill Jesus, and they evidenced it when they picked up the stones in verse 59. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. I don't think they just wanted to make him run. I think they wanted to kill him. So, Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. You would love me. For I proceeded forth and come from God. I haven't even come on my own initiative. This isn't something I did. The Father did. He sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? So point number 5. If God is your father, you love Jesus. I guess another way of saying it is you've been loved by Jesus. You've been loved by him because we love him because he first loved us. That's what the Bible says. You've been loved of him, therefore you love him in return. Anybody been loved by Jesus? Wow. God is your father. You'll love Jesus. Do you find Jesus lovable? Or is this what happens here on Sunday mornings really boring to you? And there's nothing in you that goes, you know, he might be right, but there's nothing in my heart that says Jesus is lovable. I've been there. I've been there in church service after church service going, I can't wait to get out of here. Man, he went a little bit long this week. And then I went off and did what I loved to do, which had nothing to do with Jesus. Is his words sweet to you when you hear them? And I understand I'm just repeating them, but you know what I mean, don't you? Do they resonate in your mind and your soul? Or do you always question and find ways not to believe them and push them out of your head so that you can go out and do really what you want to do? And I'm saying that because that's what I did for years. It's not true. It's not true. I want to do this and stay away from me. I'll see you on Sunday, maybe. And then maybe we'll have some time together. But until then, please leave me alone. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you're not of God. So last point in closing, before we go to a time of communion. When God is your Father, you hear the truthful words of God. Those whose father is the devil don't hear they just don't hear. And when I hear, I don't mean with these. I'm talking here. Because I believe that's what the Lord was talking about. I understand that a passage like this can feel at times very weighty. It's very serious, right? I'm just going to tell you this up front. If you're new with us, and if you've been coming for a while, you're still trying to find a church home. One of my convictions is, and I'm just going to say this, I believe life is very serious, and I believe life is very hard. And I think that when you come to church, you ought to hear more than just church light. Because I don't think life is light. I think we work to make life light, but it's not, is it? When I'm going to visit a guy who we don't know how much longer he's got, to marriages that are falling apart, relationships that are crumbling, life is very difficult. So when you come, you need to be fed well, and it ought to be meaty, amen? And you need to eat it. You need to eat it well. And if you eat once a week, you're going to be really, it's going to be a long week because you're going to be really weak. Try that physically. Eat once, one meal a week. So spiritually, it's very similar. So I'm going to ask you, as we come to a time of communion, we're going to be remembering. This is a time of remembrance. This is a great